So we get a new adventure.
Well, new adventures. Ooh. We're gonna take you on an adventure this week. What do you?
Does it have the frickin' name on the box anywhere? There we go.
Elgato Gaming.
Yeah. Oh, the instructions are hilarious because it gives you this, it's only the warnings nowadays in, 20 different languages.
Because they're legally obligated to give you that,
Yes.
but any actual useful information is not legally
Right.
obligated, so that
Here's
you can go
the
download.
useful information. Use only the provided batteries. What fucking batteries?
Batteries
There are
not
no batteries.
included.
There are no batteries at all. What are you talking about? It's freaking stupid. Now, I got
Well,
the 60.
before we dig into that, though, we should
Yeah.
actually open the show.
Okay, but that was a preview, so we can
Yeah, all this and more coming
play with that.
on this week's fun-filled edition of
Insert title here.
Because I'm here, Brian's here. We got toys, we got doodads, we got boxes, we got warnings, and we got beverages. But we'll get to that later.
And instructions in many languages.
Yes. And you
And
know,
useful information.
and next hour, we're going to reach the moment that Gators has waited for 17 years.
What?
You'll
Why
find
do I have to
out.
wait?
You have to wait.
I'm sitting at the edge of my chair, literally, because I just moved my chair so that could happen.
That could happen because, I had a very disappointing experience with a piece of machinery 17 years ago, and finally, all will be made right tonight.
Oh, okay, so this is 17 years of history with a machine, not with a person.
Well, with a all will be revealed. But
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
there's no person involved.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, last week it was email or
Emaily, yeah, that is still
emaily. So,
there.
whatever the fuck that was about,
No,
right?
for those who don't know what we're talking about, Emily and I are no longer on speaking terms, and that's not necessarily by doing, nor is it my fault. Although people named Emily would suggest that it was my fault, because you
Well,
see.
see, that's why last week I wouldn't let you spell it out. I said, "Oh, that's emailing. There was an email problem."
There was an email problem, as in she won't respond to emails anymore.
Okay.
Because you see, I actually, like, am capable of acting like a human being, and I'm not capable of doing things like just turning my back on people I care about and treating them like garbage, stepping on top of them, and then discarding them when I'm done with them. I don't do that. Now, I'm not saying other people do that.
Well,
Actually, I am saying other people
oftentimes
do
that type
that.
of situation is just a matter of point of view, and until they can see the other point of view, like our Simon and Garfunkel, kind of went in separate directions, and the press started making up all this stuff about a big old fight, and they both believed it for years. And when they got together, they kind of go, "What?" So then they could start playing it together again,
I see.
which they don't do often because they've gone in so many different directions, and so they don't really need to. But it's
Well, I mean,
whatever,
Paul Simon was more interested in his solo career than,
sure.
and, Garfunkel just, it's, well, he's Garfunkel.
Yeah, but I mean, he's kind of the perfect buddy to have, though, because he never really made any waves. Is the question whether Garfunkel could put up with Paul Simon? I don't know, and I don't really care. I mean, I'm not gonna analyze that, but that can happen.
So,
That
in this analogy, which one of us is Simon and which one of us is Garfunkel?
Emaily. emailing. We're talking about a computer problem.
We're
right?
talking about a computer problem with that. Yeah, yeah. So apparently one of us is Simon, one of us is Garfunkel. No.
To be honest with you, I don't know enough about that Simon and Garfunkel thing to be able to answer the question just from that side.
Well, was one of them fucked
and
in the head?
That's my story, and I'm sticking to that.
Was one of them one of them fucked in the head by any chance? I mean, that would make this easy to determine.
And I don't know. Carrie Fisher enjoys to talk about how, this flaming asshole wrote about her in her songs, and she's perfectly cool with it because, hell, I'd have Paul Simon worrying about me. That would be fantastic. Not that he even knows who I am, but,
Well, we could send
what
him
the
an
hell?
Email.
I mean, he's a great songwriter. If he could write a song about you, even if he make it look like an idiot, go for it.
Heck, he could write a song with like a big mystery that people are, speculating over for years and years. And then when you ask him, he's like, I don't know. I didn't actually make up any that part.
Right. Well, a lot of fiction is based on something of reality, right?
Right, but me and Julio down by the schoolyard. What do they see? What did she see? You ask Paul Simon. He goes, "I have no idea." Yes, you do. You wrote it. You have the answer.
Yeah, right. He just doesn't want to reveal it. He just is playing with us.
I don't, yeah.
Anyway, what fun would it be if everybody knew the answer? Is Paul really dead?
Yes.
And who the fuck is the walrus, right?
Right.
Oh no! It's Paul. He says it in plain English.
Paul, yeah,
the walrus is Paul.
No, John said the walrus is Paul, but he also said I am the walrus. So I think they were. What is the plural of walrus? Would that be walry?
I believe so. Yes.
So they were. They were. There was not just one walrus. They were walry.
Right.
There we go. See, we solved that one. Now let's figure out me and Julio right. down by the schoolyard.
So that incidentally, so I tweeted you a picture from this ice cream shop, which is just their this bin of really crappy shaped albums. I mean, they were really ratty looking, and you see the price on one was like $10.
Yeah.
Which I think was a $10 bin.
Well, no, it was a $5 bin.
They don't even make it to the $1 bin. The condition.
It was a $5 bin, but
whatever the case, doesn't make even the $1 because they were really in ratty condition. Anyway, the place is just jammed with primarily Beatles memorabilia, different albums, different pictures and posters and all kinds of stuff. Like, I've seen a lot of that stuff. I have not seen most of the stuff that they had. It was very weird, unusual. Some of them were British released albums. I was actually tempted to go around, take pictures of a bunch of them and send a whole bunch and see if you had recognized them, if you cared.
I mean, what things stick out to you that you've never seen before?
Well, there were different albums that I think were British release, for example.
Yeah, but the CD versions are pretty much the British versions of the albums. For the Beatles, anyways.
I mean, these I'm going to talk about the packaging of the albums that came out in the mid-60s or whatever.
I see.
Some of them I had never seen before.
Huh, cool.
Of course, the Beatles, kind of actually tended to do a lot of repackaging of the same stuff. Different album keeping people, and people would go out and buy that one next one, realizing or not realizing that, hey, you already bought that song 5 times.
Well, that was kind of more the U.S. market. I mean, heck, in England, the Beatles wouldn't include the single on the album, which is part of why, in America, we made an album around a single. You had a hit single.
Right.
Well, you got to
put
an album together and put that single on the album so that, people will buy that.
Right.
Whereas in England, the albums had more songs on them and didn't include the single, which is why there were more Beatles albums in America than England, because they would basically take the songs and put their own albums together out of them up until
Sergeant Pepper and Yellow Submarine had a huge overlap of tunes on them.
Well, but that was,
so they sold it twice.
Well, yeah, but Yellow Submarine was a soundtrack album. It wasn't really a proper Beatles album, although it is included in their discography.
Well, but for example,
in fact, I don't think there was any.
So I bought you know, when it came out, I bought Sergeant Pepper.
Right.
I thought that was the one to get. And I ignored Yellow Submarine because I saw, it's got most of those titles already, so I'm not going to bother. So it was only several years ago where I heard Bulldog. Bulldog is one of the best songs they ever wrote.
Yeah, hey, Bulldog. Yeah, I mean, because the only thing, the thing about Yellow Submarine was, first of all, it was only half a Beatles album at most, because side two was just music, you know, backing music, orchestral film score. Which, if you're a George Martin fan, you know, great. But side one, you get Yellow Submarine, which was on Revolver. You get All You Need Is Love, which was on Magical Mystery Tour. And nothing from Sgt. Pepper, actually. Actually, no. The Yellow Submarine album basically had most. It's just that it didn't have as much material. Only a Northern Song, All Together Now, Hey Bulldog, and It's All Too Much were unique songs to Yellow Submarine. Hey, you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, you've gone black again. You're still playing with your thing.
Oh, you know, I didn't think that would go black until I hit the save. Piece of shit. Of course, the window was over the little corner of the screen that, it's called experimentation.
No, actually.
Oh, by the way, I was watching one of them, I think was the most recent Dune and Bob show on YouTube.
Right.
And it's just a pattern on the screen and the voices come through, but it's just a pattern.
Huh.
You've got, I don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe it was on my end receiving. It just kind of goes, I don't know.
Well, I know what happened. You know what happened? Dune forgot to push the go live button at the start of the show. So he probably patched in the audio recording to complete the show afterwards. But if you advance further in, you probably get to video. Which
I scooted it forward a little bit and it didn't seem to be working, but maybe I just didn't go far enough.
That could have been. We'll have to fix that in post. But anyways, you really missed out on a good show there, because towards the end, we try to be educational here. And there are certain things that you just have to know in order to really fully appreciate the humor in a situation. Because if you don't know what's going on, then how can you find it as funny as it really is? And that is why, if you're really going to fully appreciate Two Girls, One Cup reaction videos, you first have to watch Two Girls, One Cup.
Right, exactly.
See, now you've watched Two Girls, One Cup, right?
Yeah.
And you would just be like lying to me so that I won't make you watch it, right?
No. I watched it. It's gross.
Okay.
Okay. Been there, done that.
Been there. Okay. So we don't
watch the video.
Yeah. Well, Dune had not. And notice I used the past tense of that. Dune had not seen Two Girls, One Cup. And he knew enough to know he didn't want to see it, but I wasn't taking no for an answer.
So did you incorporate that in the show then? Or?
Well, he watched it during the show.
Offline, I take it.
No. Well, we weren't showing the video. We were showing.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
It was basically a live reaction video, except that Dune only got as far as the cup. Once the cup filled up over the brim, he just stopped right there and had seen enough and would go no further.
Because I okay, I get it.
Yeah. Okay. So now he understands the cup. Dune actually clarifies that in 34 minutes in, it changes to video. So it was 34 minutes of the
34
audio
minutes. Okay, I didn't go far enough. I mean, actually, the early part that I listened to was talking about different music tracks and stuff like this. So that's cool, you know. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was because we're recapping. I filled in for Dune on his. He does a music show on Saturday nights, and so I filled in for him. And we were recapping about that, and that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you sent me an email after last week's show. We're getting more text up this week. Because you're gonna help me figure out how to put scripts onto this thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got that to look forward to. Hey, do you like my Tharco shirt?
Oh, good.
Yeah. I can wear this on the show now. I don't care that people know I used to work for Tharco.
Right.
So how was your week?
Of course, at this level, let's see. Can I even scoot this up a little bit? Nope, I don't see it. You'd have to be sitting up to get the
Or I got
corporate the unofficial corporate sponsor.
Yes, yes. Right. This show has been brought to you by Tharco. We make boxes.
Right.
I don't think that's their real slogan.
Right.
Their real slogan is not "We make boxes." It should be. It should be Tharco.
Well,
we make
when
boxes.
When we were hot on the quality programs. Because ISO was a huge thing in the packaging industry, you know, about 15 to 20 years ago. We had a whole bunch of, you know, safety and quality slogans. We put the K in quality.
That
was
that.
Our favorite one.
Quality with a K. I like it. Well, anyways. So, how was your week?
Not too bad. Kind of busy. We, raced down to Pacific Grove for the weekend. Came back the next on Sunday. So Friday night to Sunday night, it was good.
That's cool. That's
didn't
cool.
do too much. Put some shelves in a closet. You know, so it seemed like it was even productive.
Well, every now and then, you know, you get something done. Yeah,
I met a fisherman down at the shore and chatted with him a while, and he had some buddies that came along and kind of chatted up from some fish stories, which was cool.
Cool. Yeah.
And the wife just stayed in the car, and she, she was just enjoying the, watching from the car.
So now, have you told your wife more about the thrilling show topics we cover here?
We've talked about it a little bit. She thinks I'm stupid for doing it, but.
Well, what else are you gonna do? Does she have better ideas?
All eight people are gonna enjoy this, right?
Yeah. We're streaming in three places now. We got one person watching the YouTubes. We've got seven people listening on the NHB radio stream, and we also have the NHB show stream now. Let's see, we got ten people over there. So 10 plus 7 plus 1, that's 18 people. 18 people. How about that?
18 people. Yay.
Yeah, that is, wow.
Now that we've got everybody listening, you know, and people can give feedback on it, I play the device game with Arnold Schwarzenegger as the main guy that's pushing it on the ads, the game of Mobile Strike. And the team that I'm on actually has a Facebook page. And I'm considering inviting them to either listen to this show or even partake. So I wondered what the idea would be. Would that be cool or would that be, like, really stupid? Because it could get just down into the weeds technical. You know, in fact, in my mind, I wouldn't even want to waste time talking about the basics of how the game works. if you've ever played anything like Empire or whatever, I mean, that's what it's all based on, right? Empire is the first,
I don't
you know, build
know
this
anything
shit and
about
then war
those.
it. It's kind of like Warcraft and, you know, all of these games of this, you know, sort of military, you know, building strategy, building troops. You got enemies, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, it would be a theme that we would have to go with. You know, we would say we'd dedicate a half hour to it.
No. I don't play those games. I don't know anything about those games. And you talk
well,
about
you would just moderate. Bad idea.
I'm not in favor of it.
Okay, all right. I it's just suggesting a topic.
I mean, this is kind of like when you and Mars would go off on Top Gear. You know, I would just kind of, you know, get up, walk away. I wouldn't want to let that happen every week. But,
oh yeah, no. That's fine. And I would do this once, and maybe you get people that would be interested, because in fact, there's a chat thing in Mobile Strike, and people are talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. A lot of personal life is like, you know, other people can read this shit.
You know? Well, it's kind of like past weeks of this show. You could have asked me. You know, other people can listen to this shit. You know, between talking about
right.
and you know, I've got three great clips to throw in automation now, because we got the science fair project picture story, we got the third grade science teacher story, and we got the blowjob story. So there's a lot of great information to just spread around the internet about my personal.
Right. Yeah, and you're forgetting that the internet is forever.
Oh no, I've not forgotten that. I just don't care.
Okay, we want our listeners. You know, hey, we invite any listener to join in.
Actually, the internet.
But as a disclaimer,
the internet is not forever. The internet's not forever. The internet's not forever. You can no longer find a picture of Dune's ass on the internet.
Really? So he successfully purged that off the internet.
Yeah, and he is so thrilled that I keep reminding people every now and then that used to be out there.
Somebody will be looking for it and see if they can find it and then refresh it.
I wonder if Dune sometimes questions our friendship, you know, between making him watch Two Girls, One Cup, reminding people that there are pictures of him, making his dogs bark at 2 a.m. I'm not a very good friend to this guy.
So Dune has gone way past just run away. He missed that memo. Poor guy.
But it was okay. It was okay. Because after he saw the cup filleth and spilleth over, he took a moment, put on some Boz Scaggs, And that made it all better somehow. You know, there you go. So when all else fails, after watching Two Girls, One Cup, just put on some Boz Scaggs. That's what I think we learned on yesterday's show. But Brian made an interesting discovery this week, because we've been having some bandwidth issues on his end every now and then the past few weeks. And, you know, he kept on talking about the Wi-Fi signal and the multiple routers, and I'd, you know, make some suggestions or things like that.
And I made all kinds of configuration checks, rechecks.
Right.
Swiping around, rebooting. Like last week before the show, I rebooted the routers. All this kind of stuff.
And you make certain assumptions about situations when end users tell you situations. Like when I should know better. I should know better, because all the time I find myself going, oh, I forgot to ask the stupid basic questions. Because when someone's trying to connect to Wi-Fi and they're having signal issues and you're troubleshooting the Wi-Fi issues, the assumption you make is that the equipment you are troubleshooting is not near a point where you could make a wired connection, or it wouldn't be convenient to make a wired connection. And it turns out that in this case, no, Brian is sitting right next to his router with plenty of available jacks and plenty of network cables right there. And it took how many weeks for you to figure this out?
I have no idea. I really don't. Well, in fact, I was at my dad's house. This is several months ago, and he was having issues with Wi-Fi. So I snuck out an Ethernet cable, and I just plugged in his notebook. Because he's not moving his notebook around. I just plugged it in.
Yeah, may as well.
Hey, much better connection.
Wow, this is the best Wi-Fi I ever had. Wi-Fi is awesome over a cable.
Right.
Hey,
you know, and in fact, I even bought him a new router.
Hmm.
You know, and all this kind of stuff. Because his old router, because what would happen is you'd be going along and the Wi-Fi would just drop out. You know, boom.
Hey, I got to ask.
Reboot the router and then you're back again. But
speaking of bad ideas, I got to ask if anybody remembers this. Because I've been, there's a reason why it was not until 10 minutes before the show was about to start that I'm like, hey, here's the link to join the Hangout. And it's because I've started a new thing here. I have been watching old episodes from 1990 of All My Children. And I'm going to make my way through to 95. I'm determined to do it. I am reliving the 90s in so many ways now. And we happened to watch an episode today while eating some dinner. And this episode included all the original commercials. So it was an hour long. So I, like, you know, finished the episode like, oh, crap, only got 10 minutes to get set up and get ready for the show. But one of the commercials that came on, do you remember that in 1990, Jell-O actually released a variety of microwave pudding?
No.
No, I did not remember this. This must not have lasted.
No, I did not.
But no, there was apparently, because the commercial came on, I remember commercials. I love commercials. I did not remember this commercial. Apparently, they put out microwave pudding. You know, to get the quality of cooked pudding as opposed to instant pudding. But, you know, easy to make in your microwave. And being that I've never heard of this, I'm thinking this had to have been a miserable failure.
I would say so, yeah.
It seems like a bad idea from the start. I'm not even finding information about this online. I just did a Google search for microwave pudding, and it's bringing me up recipes, but not an actual product that used to exist. Yeah, so, wow. Yeah, am I the only one that... well, actually, no, I'm not. Did anyone remember this? Because I didn't.
Yeah, I don't remember. I usually remember commercials as well. But that one, yeah, not coming up to remembering.
Here it is.
There's a new way to cook old-fashioned pudding.
You see Grandma's there with her secret hidden microwave. To take the place of the
with Jell-O microwave pudding, the rich, creamy taste of cooked pudding.
Grandma, your pudding is the best.
New Jell-O microwave pudding, old-time taste in no time.
So there you go. That's a
good slogan too.
That was old. Yeah.
Old fashioned. How did it go again?
Pudding, old time taste in no time.
Old time taste.
Old time taste in no time.
In no time.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, I can remember it first time. Of course, I have Alzheimer's, so that's why I couldn't remember, because it was. We were at a restaurant the other actually not this weekend, the weekend before, and there were a couple of old guys talking, and a guy was going through all these scientific theories and blah blah blah, talking about them. And then he got to a point where he forgot. He says, I guess it's the Alzheimer's. And I really wanted to spoke up and says, well, it depends on when you learned it. If you remembered it, you know, learned it 20 years ago, you still remember it now. Alzheimer's short-term memory. If you just learned it yesterday, forget about it. You know,
right.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's a short-term memory issue.
It's short-term, yeah.
He must have forgotten about that too, but.
Yeah, because you could have told him that, and then he would have forgotten tomorrow anyways. So.
Right.
That's the problem right there. Just,
but you know, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want him to end his stories because he was kind of going on and on. It was kind of funny.
Cool. So, but yeah, I just was like, oh my God, that's the dumbest thing ever. Microwave pudding. That's.
I mean, you know, I get, you know, the Quaker old-fashioned oatmeal, right?
Right.
And you can also buy the same, you know, the drum, right? That
right.
You can play with as a kid with the instant version. And to me, like, the old-fashioned version actually has some taste to it because the instant tastes like nothing. And if you use the old-fashioned in the microwave, it takes about 30 seconds longer than the instant. What's so good about the instant that you're going to save 30 seconds? You know, there's no flavor to it. So get the old-fashioned and I zap it.
Well, the thing is that most of the instant oatmeal comes flavored because usually we would get the variety.
Well, but the
pack.
One in the drum has no flavoring. So
right.
You got to either add your own or whatever. But even still, the consistency is different. It's not like oatmeal. It's more like wallpaper paste. Not
yeah.
just in flavor, but also in texture.
I don't know.
Whereas
but
the old-fashioned has...
Well, yeah.
A certain lumpiness that's cool.
Yeah, but if you want apple cinnamon oatmeal, it's gonna take a lot longer to cut up some apples into chunks and get out a cinnamon stick. And well, I guess you could just sprinkle a little
cinnamon. But the drum doesn't come with all those flavors.
Right, right.
It just comes over the instant.
Right,
so
which is why you get the instant. You just take the envelope you want.
You get it the instant in the packet. Yes.
Right,
and
right.
I don't have an argument with that. Actually, I do the old fashioned. I add my own. Raisins, hey, that comes nice. That's not anything to cook.
Right.
You know, at the end, in fact, I add it in so it's not boiling hot raisins. So I put in the raisins and then slice up a banana if I have it. If I don't, no big deal.
Right, right.
And my wife adds a secret ingredient, peanut butter.
I'm going to have to try that.
She learned that from a coworker. You know, one of the problems with oatmeal as a breakfast item is that by the time, you know, noon comes around or lunchtime comes around, you're starving to death. It doesn't last that long.
No.
But you add a dab of peanut butter, and you can kind of figure out how much it takes. That stretches that whatever, because peanut butter is amazing stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, get me. You
so
know,
you have to try it. I mean,
I don't even
I don't
need
do
the,
it because to me the smell of peanut butter in oatmeal is a little bit obnoxious.
I don't know.
I don't even need the
oatmeal. Just get me a jar of peanut butter and a spoon, and I'm ready to go to town.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there. You go.
But throw it in the oatmeal and just try it. See what you think.
I'm gonna have to buy some oatmeal now. You know, maybe we'll do this live on next week's show, Gators Elite Oatmeal. I have eaten grits on this
show.
Now,
the hardcore oatmeal people, by the way, get these different brands that take 20 minutes to cook. It's like, why?
Mm.
You know, I.
Because time equals quality? I don't know.
No, and I've tasted it. It's like, no, I like the Quaker old-fashioned.
I don't
whatever
know.
You know, mm-hmm. Each to their own. So I, you know, it's not.
I don't know. I just
kind of go.
You know, in our house, the way it worked was you got the variety pack, and I've told this story like 25
yeah,
times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you get the variety pack, you work through it, you get down to the original, which is, you know, literally wallpaper paste. Like, I'm pretty sure my
yes.
dad used the leftover packets of that to wallpaper the dining room. I that's my theory, anyways.
He could have.
But, you know, and of course we had the rule in our house that you don't open up a new box or something until you finish the old box. But if no one's looking, what you do is you open up the new box, you take the packet out, you throw the original packets in there from the old box, throw out the old box, and then, you know, mom and dad are none the wiser that there's, you know. But after so many times
doing that,
you end up with a box that is full
of nothing. The full box
of the plane. But the plane. And then it's like, hey, could you buy some more oatmeal? But we have a whole box of oatmeal. No, that's the wallpaper paste. We want some oatmeal.
Of course, they never outsmarted you by either, you know, getting raisins to add or maple syrup or whatever, because that's all that they're putting in there.
Well, yeah, actually, at some
point, apple bits, you know.
Well, at some point, what I did was I grabbed the Aunt Jemima out of the pantry, and I'd make up an envelope of the original and dump some of that in there.
Yeah.
But don't you dare call that maple syrup.
Yeah. I buy that.
That's pancake syrup. Or that's breakfast syrup.
Right.
But it's not maple syrup.
Right.
But you know, that's what I grew up on, and I liked it as well. Now, yeah. Now I know better. Now I know not to like that.
But, yeah,
Yeah. All right, but what other breakfast foods can we talk about here? Grits.
Don't do them grits.
Yeah.
No, I don't go there.
You know what? Every now and then, Kristen will buy a box of cereal and some kind of a almond milk or some kind of a non-dairy milk, and Milk and Kristen don't get along, it's getting to that time of the year where the monster cereals come out again, and sure enough, like a week or so ago, we're shopping, we see a display of Count Chocula and Frankenberry and Boo Berry, but no Fruit Brute or Fruity Yummy Mummy. They have not brought back the Fruit Brute or the Fruity Yummy Mummy this year, which Kristen was quite disappointed with, because she liked the Fruity Yummy Mummy. And she decided, all right, well, maybe next week I'll buy a box of the Count Chocula. So this past weekend, we go grocery shopping. We get to the display. No Count Chocula. It's all Frankenberry and Boo Berry. So she had to settle for Frankenberry. So,
bummer.
Yeah. Which reminds me of the one year that they were talking about how there's some kind of a microbrewery that makes some kind of a Count Chocula brew, and they like bought up like most of the supply of Count Chocula that year. So stores were having trouble getting Count Chocula in because this microbrewery bought it all up to brew their Count Chocula beer. And I remember we called and left them a voicemail, but we never heard back from them. But I'm wondering if maybe that's what's going on this year. Maybe that's why we couldn't get any Count Chocula. But maybe if they just make some Fruity Yummy Mummy, then we wouldn't care. So I noticed you're wearing a Gump hat.
I just kind of grabbed what was nearby. I was trying to come up with another alternative, but I thought, Gump is all right.
Gump, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'd vote for him.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we should talk about, you know what? Maybe we should. Oh, we should go to the messengers. Dune writes in, when I hear you bring up things I don't want brought up, it makes me wish I had not deleted this stuff on the thing. There's your obscure reference.
What, the Volkswagen thing? The vehicle? Or something else?
Oh, I'll tell you after the show.
okay. This is something...
Let's just say... I did Dune a favor by having him delete the stuff on the thing, because that is stuff he wouldn't want to. Dune, you don't want to picture that. You don't want to. You have no idea what goes on. But speaking of speaking of things on things, we got Venison.
Hey, Venison.
And who thought of Scrapple?
Scrapple.
Yeah.
You know, that just makes you think of, like, you know, eating Scrabble tiles.
Scrapple. That's the nastiest breakfast food I have ever eaten in my life.
So you've eaten this?
I took a bite of it once. You know, we've had all kinds of stuff here. You know, head cheese, everything else. Fine. Great. But Scrapple? It's like great chicken shit. I don't know what it is.
Let's see. Type pudding. Apparently, it's technically a pudding.
It is?
According to Wikipedia. Scrapple, also known by the Pennsylvania Dutch name panhaas or pan rabbit, is traditionally a mush of pork scraps and trimmings combined with cornmeal and wheat flour, often buckwheat flour, and spices. The mush is formed into a semi-solid congealed loaf, and slices of the scrapple are then pan-fried before serving. Scraps of meat left over from butchering, not used or sold elsewhere, were made in the scrapple to avoid waste. So basically the leftover stuff that, like, you don't eat just gets made into a loaf and fried.
Underlined words, you know, stuff left over that you don't eat.
Yeah. Scrapple is typically made of hog offal, such as the head, heart, liver, and other trimmings, which are boiled with any bones attached, often the entire head, to make a broth. Once cooked, bones and fat are removed, the meat is reserved, and dry cornmeal is boiled in the broth to make a mush. And there you go.
Yeah.
Scrapple. It sounds awful.
It is.
Let me tell you, I wouldn't try head cheese either. Those two
Head cheese is great.
No, those two words do not belong together.
Well, yeah, I thought so too, but it's actually good.
Do you have any idea what's in head cheese?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think about it.
I mean, I would take scrapple before I take head cheese based on what's in. I mean, scrapple at least has meat in it. Head cheese has got, let's see.
It's got meat too. You can see it in there.
It's a terrine of meat jelly made with flesh from the head of a calf or pig, less commonly a sheep or cow, and often set in aspic. The parts of the head used vary, but the brain, eyes, and ears are usually removed. The tongue, sometimes the feet and the heart may be included. It can also be made from quality trimmings from pork and veal, adding gelatin to the stock as a binder. Now, I remember... Yeah. I remember every now and then my Fong would have some head cheese, and she'd offer me, so I'd be like, no. That's actually, I think only once she offered me. And my reaction was enough that she didn't offer me head cheese again.
That's actually, you know, one of the grossest sides of breakfast foods.
No.
That's actually one of the grossest sides of breakfast foods that actually works. It tastes good. I buy it too. I buy it occasionally. And just can't help snacking from it.
Oh, it looks disgusting. It looks absolutely disgusting.
Look, if we ran to all kinds of foods that look disgusting, okay, you know, we wouldn't eat it. I mean, come on. You know, my ravioli and melted mozzarella cheese looks like the scene from Dawn of the Dead where they're pulling the guts out. You know, it looks like that, but delicious.
Speaking of delicious, venison.
Well, some people like and some people hate Spam.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it's the same. To me, it's the same idea. I mean, my wife will have nothing to do with it, but, you know, I like to go with it a little bit.
Does she eat anything?
You know, if it's well cooked, that jelly crap
is Brian,
gross.
But, Brian, does your wife eat anything that comes out of a can?
Yeah, but
okay.
She's. Let me put it this way: I'm more adventuresome than she is. We'll just leave it at that.
Bet you don't like chitlins either.
I'm not sure that she's ever had chitlins. So,
well, there you go, Brian. You know what you need to bring home now.
I'm not sure that I've had chitlins.
Well,
so.
There you go. You need to now. Do you bring home chitlins, or do you go to some place and are served chitlins? I mean, how does chitlins work?
Well, you can buy them, but you know, if you buy them uncooked, you got to go through a whole process. You know, so you want to try to stay away from that. But meanwhile, I think it's Frank's. Frank's cooked chitlins. I think it is Frank's. Where you can find it in the tub, where they're expensive, though. Yep, that's the thing. I've always wondered about this. Why are these things so fucking expensive when it's just figured that since, you know, I think I'll take figure that, oh, the black folks. The black folks love it, so we got to charge them more for it.
So, Venison, how do you find a place that serves good chitlins?
I don't think I've ever had.
Now, where are you getting your chitlins from?
The store.
The store. So you buy them ready. You buy them ready made, or you buy them to heat them up, or?
Yes, you could buy them ready made, or you could buy them not made.
So, do you think the local Safeway over in Danville has a chitlin counter there or something like that? Maybe
I think it's unlikely.
you might have to venture out to another neighborhood, is what you're saying.
Probably. I'm thinking Oakland might be where I'd have to go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, you venture pretty close to Oakland quite often.
One of the big shocks is coming back from Singapore and looking at the pathetic Asian food aisle. It's like, well, it's like this much. It's like,
yeah, but you could go to...
Oh, man.
But you're in California. You can go to an Asian market.
Well, this is true, but the Safeway itself is kind of like... Maybe they kind of are just kind of going, well, this is as much as we can take because, you know, we're not selling that. They're probably not selling that much. You would go to the Asian market.
Here's the difference between, you know, grocery shopping in Hayward and grocery shopping in Attleboro. In Hayward, there was a Mexican section and there was an Asian section. They were, different aisles. Whereas here, there's one international aisle. So you got, you know, your one stop spot for all Asian and Mexican and international. I don't know. But yeah, certain areas
now,
have
how,
certain.
If you go to your local store, how much, say, Jewish food would you have?
I haven't gone looking. What?
You know, starting from matzahs and whatever else.
You know, I know I've seen matzah on grocery store shelves, but I never stopped to notice if I see it or don't see it. And to be honest,
or gefilte fish.
I can't even tell you if I could or couldn't have gotten it in Hayward. But yeah.
Well, we'd have to kind of compare. I mean, there is a section in the Dandel store of the Jewish food. You know, you can pretty much get matzah year round.
Yeah, I think you get matzah.
I think you can get some of the other things like gilda fish and some of the others. I was going to say pig's knuckles. Oh, that's right. That wouldn't be kosher.
that would
be actually funny.
I think that's going back with the chitlins there is...
Ooh, pig's knuckles and pickled pig's feet. Ah, good stuff.
You're sick.
No, I'm not. Now, delicious.
Speaking of finding things at the grocery store, I have a perfect transition if you can give me a few moments to go to the fridge because the moment I've been waiting 17 years for is coming.
All right.
So Venison
and I will chat it up while you're busy.
Oh.
So you mentioned that because this is marketed to blacks, it's going to be more expensive.
There was
a conversation I had at Tharco. There was a black woman in the accounting department, and then they were talking about buying chicken. You know, just chicken that's been prepared, and you know, most of us, and there were some Filipinos and white people, whatever. You know, we go for. You know, the stuff that's prepared, that's been, you know, cut up. So you wanted the boneless, you know, skinless chicken breast. That's what you go for. You want the thighs, you go for that. You want the chicken legs, you just go for that. And this black woman just kind of go, why don't you just buy the whole chicken? It's a lot cheaper. And they kind of looked at her kind of, well, I wouldn't know what to do with it. They had no idea how they would cut it up.
I wouldn't know what to do with a whole chicken either.
I have cut chicken apart and stuff like this. And granted, I'm probably too lazy to do it. So I buy the packaged stuff and probably pay more. And I kind of don't really care. But I thought it was an interesting conversation because she looked at it like it's really no big deal. And I guess it really isn't.
Yeah, but it was funny. I mean, come on. You can get... you know, a whole roasted, you know, roast chicken, you know, barbecued and all like that, you know, whole roasted chicken inside the package for $5. That's cheap.
Like, you know, you know what I found at the grocery store, though? And I've been looking for it for a while. And I finally found me some Crystal Pepsi. Now, this is...
Nice.
Now, remember, Crystal Pepsi came out in, like, the early 90s. It was only around for, like, a year. And, you know, I tried it. I liked it. I didn't, like, had... To, it wasn't something...
So, Venison, do you think that was just a bottle of water that he put the label for of Crystal Pepsi on it?
No, this is real. They have brought back...
like water.
They brought back Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we had heard that this was... Didn't we talk about this was coming?
Yeah, because I couldn't find it. And so once again, this past grocery trip, I go looking, and it's not in the soda aisle. And I happened to, like, stumble across it. They had a display near one of the entrances of it, but none in the soda aisle. And I actually threw them in the cart, and the cashier's ringing me out. And she looks at it, and she turns to me, and she asks me, where did you find this? I've been looking for this. Right down there is a display. And so, even the staff of the store didn't even know where the store had put it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But did I tell the story about the soda machine in West Virginia? Because now they stopped making Crystal Pepsi.
Refresh the memory. Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, they stopped making Crystal Pepsi like in the early mid-90s, like maybe 94. Right. So, and now I went to high school. No, wait, I got this wrong. It's been longer than 17 years. 94, 95. It must have been 95.
So we changed that in post?
It must have been 95. That's right. It was my sophomore year of high school. So it would have been 1995. So 2005, 2015, 17. So this has been 22 years in the waiting.
Good God.
Because they stopped selling Crystal Pepsi in 94. But 1995, we went on a band trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And there was some traffic or construction on the bus ride back. And so they had to take a different route that took us into West Virginia. And we stopped at a rest stop to kind of call people and say, hey, we're going to be a little late getting
home. By the way, what year were you saying?
1995.
Okay, because according to Wikipedia, it was sold from 92 to 93.
Okay, so this was like 2 years after they stopped selling it. Well, the thing is that, you know, now I love a good gimmick, and I, you know, I liked Crystal Pepsi when I tried it, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I have to have it. And then it disappeared, and it was like, where did that go? And I forgot about it. And then in 95, we get to this rest stop. I go up to the soda machine, and there's a Crystal Pepsi button on the soda machine. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen that in over a year. Oh, I'm going to have me a Crystal Pepsi. And I put my last dollar into the machine, awaiting my cola beverage goodness that I could, you know, see through because it's clear, although it's in a can, so I wasn't going to even see it.
And really. You would have been swooped up to Nirvana.
Yes. I hit the button, and out comes a can of Lipton Brisk iced tea.
Like, what?
I was so pissed. I mean, I sat with that can unopened for like an hour in the bus, fuming. Like, I refuse to drink this. This is not Crystal Pepsi. I want Crystal Pepsi. So here we are. I finally got my Crystal Pepsi. I said I'd get a Crystal Pepsi, and damn it, I did. There we go. Opening it up.
So opening it right now for the first time.
Right now.
There we go.
And it smells like
Don't
Crystal
spit
Pepsi.
Any on your mic.
Ah, there we go. That's the stuff. Oh my God.
By the way,
that's Crystal
Pepsi.
Nice
looking mic. What brand of mic do you have microphone do you have?
Martin Ranger.
Is that a brand or a some offbeat thing?
That's, you know, cheap. Actually, between these two mics, one of them was a cheap mic that, like, I bought to have a second mic for Seth, and the other one was a freebie that I got with a green screen that Kristen's dad had in his basement. And I forget which is which. But this one doesn't have anything on it, and it stopped working. But basically, it's what I had handy. I'm probably going to buy a better mic soon. But there we go. It took me 22 years to find that damn Crystal Pepsi.
So have you been doing some research on microphones?
Well, really, I've not been doing research, but I would like to have a microphone that works better as a room mic. Because, you see, if I do this, you can barely hear me.
Right.
But if I do this, you can hear me fine. This is good for close miking. But I thought, you know, if I get like a condenser mic, something that could work as a, you know, room mic, that might be nice to be able to, you know, when playing like some video games or doing some streaming of video games, to just be able to set up a mic in the room and, you know, do my thing without having to worry about, you know, leaning in.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way, there was a really good video that I watched. This guy's very thorough, although his take of it isn't exactly what we do, but it's more of mics for doing video photography.
Right.
And he talks about different uses. Now, of course, he has his own opinions, of course, but he is a professional. He uses them all the time. He has internet videos. He's got professional video shoots that he does, and he's a still photographer. He does all these different things. One of the types of mics that he doesn't like is what they call the shotgun mic.
Well, that's really for close miking, and that's like, you know.
Well, that's for getting something that's distant, but it focuses in on that distance.
Oh yeah, shotgun mic.
He says they don't do that good. Yeah, he says he doesn't like the way they work.
Well, that's kind of more a vocal mic. That's a very
feet away, but
that's a very specialized type of mic.
Yeah, well, his ideas. Oh well. You know, his specialty is, you know, kind of like, well, his idea would be you put a lav mic on everybody, and it could be wireless.
Hmm.
That's not always practical depending on, you know, what you're doing.
Right. So. No, the shotgun mic is more for, like interview, type of situations or, you know, trying to get comment from someone. You know, I think that type of mic is the type of mic that you might see, like, on the end of a long pole that someone's holding to, you know, kind of get.
Well, a lot of them also, they'll mount on top of the camera and point at your subject, right?
I guess that would work, too.
What he prefers, in fact, is taking one of those little standalone recorders. You know, like there's a Zoom H3 or something like that. And, you know, you kind of hold it like this and you just hand it to the guy, you know, and then you sync them up later. Because you'd have your mic on your camera that gives you the timing and then the sound that comes in from, you know, the separate recorder and then patch them together.
I guess you could do that. Dune writes in, when I hear you bring, no, I already read that. Dune writes in, you need a Dune mic. Oh, well,
he's the professional, right?
Okay. I mean, I'm a professional too, but I was gonna try out because you know me, I love a good bargain, and you know I've always tried to, you know, make good things happen with cheap things, and
I'm
not trying to do professional audio recording here, so I don't need to buy like $100 or more mic.
Sure.
So, you know, but they do have some decent looking condenser mics that you can get for like $30 on Amazon. And it's like for $30 for a condenser microphone, you know, maybe we try it, see how good it picks up. Because like, for example, one time Seth was here, we were playing Nintendo games and kind of streaming it. And I only had one microphone in the room and, you know, trying to share the mic back and forth was, and I was like, you know, this sucks. We're wearing headphones. We can't hear each other. Fuck this. So I think it'd be nicer to have a room mic and just play games with a room mic if we're going to do a stream, or better yet, just, you know, forget the streaming because no one watches anyways and just play some games. But anyways, then again, I might want to do things I really wanted to get into the streaming video game stuff, but no one at all is expressing any interest in this. And I wanted to kind of get cool with it. With, like, you know, there are a lot of different things people didn't have. You know, not everyone had the Power Glove and the U-Force, and I wanted to experiment with those. And, heck, I wanted to, you know, pick up, like, you know, a Famicom and a disc system and play, like, the Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2 on an original disc system and stream that, things like that. Find, you know, really, I thought there were a lot of cool things that we could do. And it'd be, you know, video game themed shows do well on YouTube. I was just going to do more of a live focused version of that. Not, you know, but everyone just wants a condensed little package, you know? I don't know. But, yeah, so, Brian, did you ever have the Crystal Pepsi?
No, I can't say that I have, and I probably would just kind of go, I don't really care.
How about you, Venison?
Yeah, how about you, Venison?
Yeah, what for? You know, I prefer real soda, none of this diet stuff.
It's not diet. It's now they did make
Crystal Pepsi is not diet.
They made,
and maybe that's why it didn't go anywhere, because maybe some of the regular soda drinkers thought that, well, it was a diet drink.
I don't,
you
see
know,
how,
so you do have
no
consumer confusion.
Well, I don't think possibly. There. I don't think there was, because back then they did brand both a regular and diet version of Crystal Pepsi. There, you could get diet Crystal Pepsi.
Well, true, but. Sometimes people just ignore the specialty stuff. How many people drink vanilla Coke or even cherry Coke? You know, I don't really know.
Those
you
have
know,
been quite successful. I think more people drink cherry Coke and vanilla Coke than Crystal Pepsi, because they've continued to make that for years.
I like it when a you know, a restaurant that has the, you know, the self-serve dispenser has a tap for the cherry Coke, because I'll put a splash of that in and then the regular Coke on top of it, because I just need a little bit of flavor. I don't need the whole thing to be overwhelming.
Now does anyone remember Pepsi Blue?
Vaguely.
I think that last,
barely.
I think that didn't last nearly as long as Crystal Pepsi. That was like, you know, I think you only get that for like a week. It was not good. It was bad. you know what? If they bring back Pepsi Blue, I will buy it and try it live here on the show, but I won't like it, because that stuff was kind of nasty.
So it's a berry flavored soft drink from Pepsi.
Oh my God.
Launched mid 2002.
I think they
and 2004 and discontinued in Canada and the U.S. in 2004, so that was only a 2-year run as well. Remains available in Indonesia and the Philippines. So you can get that still.
That
it was designed to compete with the vanilla Coke,
but it wasn't vanilla or Coke. I'm seeing bottles of Pepsi Blue with the new logo. Maybe that's the Indonesia stuff. But it was blue. It had this berry flavor to it, and it was bad. But yeah, it came out around the same time as Vanilla Coke, but it was not Vanilla Coke or even close. I don't even know why you consider that to be a. It was very blue. It was very blue. I would think it'd be more likely to. No, it came out.
They have a picture here. It looks kind of transparent blue, but definitely blue.
Yeah.
Ooh,
there's definitely no mistaking of it.
So you never tried that?
No.
I'm telling you, I'm liking this Crystal Pepsi. This is good stuff.
So the Vanilla Coke was introduced in 2002, discontinued in 2005, and then reintroduced in 2007.
They stopped making it for 2 years?
But it's still around. Vanilla Coke is still around.
I wonder why they stopped making it those 2 years.
Well, in fact, I'm kind of surprised that the current run on it is continuing, because I look at those as either seasonal or promotional. where they only last a few while, and then they just take it off the market.
No, vanilla Coke is good stuff. That is definitely worth having year-round.
Yeah. I look at vanilla Coke, and, well, we visited Tahiti some years ago, and Tahiti is famous for some really great vanilla, right? Vanilla beans are grown there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they have one customer, you know, big secret, that buys up almost their entire amount that they can, you know, that they export. And it's Coca-Cola.
Hmm.
Because it's used in regular Coke.
Interesting.
So I take it they just do an extra dash for, you know, it's part of the magic secret formula.
Some kind of, yeah. Well, one thing I got to say is that when vanilla Coke first came out, I loved that stuff. And I was, like, drinking nothing but that stuff. I was, you know, I was working at Walmart. So, you know, it was like whenever I went on break, I was, you know, going up to the fridge, grabbing a vanilla Coke and ringing that up and immediately taping the receipt to the bottle so no one would dare question. At some point, a few months into that or a year into that or whatever, I noticed when they changed the formula. And I have to say, I from that point on, I was not as hardcore a fan of the vanilla Coke. The original formula was the best. They really ruined it, in my opinion, and that made it very disappointing. And I've you know, in fact, quite often when I look at vanilla Coke, I'm like, it's just not as good as it used to be. And when you're thinking something negative about something, it doesn't make you enticed to reach for it.
Right. No, I understand that. Maybe that's when they changed to from cane sugar to high fructose corn syrup.
No, that was the 80s. That was New Coke. That happened.
Oh, New Coke did that?
Yeah, New Coke. Well, when they went from, I don't know if they did it when they went to New Coke or when they switched back, but basically Coke was using cane sugar before they brought out New Coke. And when they went back to the original formula of a Coke Classic, they were using high fructose corn syrup. So there are some people that some people say that the whole reason they did the New Coke thing was so that people wouldn't notice them changing over.
They switched to the nasty chemical.
Right.
Yeah, fucking assholes.
Exactly. But anyways, you know what we should do? We should. We have reached the second hour of the show here. And, you know, come drink some soda with us. If you're out there listening right now, oh, by the way, you can write in on NHB Live through AOL Instant Messenger, NHB Live through Skype. You can call in NHB Live through Skype. Heck, you can even call in on a landline telephone at 984-6-NHB-RADIO. That's 984-664-2723. But,
yeah, you can drink your sodas. I'm going to get a big, fat, sausage patty.
Venison likes sucking on the sausage.
Sausage patty.
Okay. You're sucking on Patty's sausage.
I ain't going to go there. But, you know, put some fried eggs on top, and we're good.
There we go.
There we go. So, yeah. Now, Brian, you sent me an email after last week's show because, well, a few things. You've been working on the whole getting Android on a Pi. And
right.
I think you found a new video that has that proved fruitful?
Okay, I downloaded it, but I didn't have a memory card to put it on. Actually, on Friday, I got the memory card because I ordered one, but I haven't had time yet. So
no new development in the world of...
No. I've made progress, but not actually getting it up to boot it.
Okay.
So
we're going to talk about some new Linux commands to tweak and configure our Pi. So let me find my power cord. There we go. We're going to plug in my Pi. This is the sound of me plugging in a Pi. This is the sound of me trying to figure out.
There's a little click. There's a little tap. There's a little. It's not connected yet.
Well, it's that thing where you're not sure which side is up and which side is down.
The one thing that I like about the Apple Lightning connector is you can plug it in either way.
That is a nice feature.
Yeah. Incidentally, have you been, while you're setting up, have you been listening to the buzz about the release of the iPhone 7?
Oh, we talked about that yesterday. I asked Dune if he was going to be downgrading, and he took issue with my verbiage there. But
you called it a downgrade?
Oh, it is.
My wife is pissed that they got rid of the headphone jack.
Yes, exactly.
I was listening to CNBC and the lunch hour show. Actually, it's a 2-hour show. The only thing they had on was talking about the release of the iPhone 7 and the announcement and the blah, 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 as if no other company had business news, okay? So it was kind of funny. And they actually talked about the dongle.
Right.
You'll get a dongle for it.
Because that's what
and
we
then
want.
And one guy goes, it's not a dongle, it's an adapter, because a dongle, by definition, has electronics to do a conversion. And this is just a wiring thing, because the Lightning cable does have the signal for stereo headphones. So this adapter actually is a no-brainer. Now, the people that are pissed at Apple for taking away their jack, guess what Samsung's going to do?
They're going to promote the hell out of their jack.
No, they're going to get rid of their jack as well. This is the way things are going.
No, it's not.
If you get a Samsung Note 7, you're going to send it in because the batteries spontaneously combust.
Well, yeah, but at least it has a headphone jack.
Yes, right.
I'll take a flaming headphone jack over no headphone jack any day.
They're going to take it away, though.
You know what? I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I think this Apple thing is going to prove to be a huge mistake.
Well, we'll see. Maybe the 7S will have a headphone jack in it.
Well, I don't know.
Apology.
I don't think that Apple's going to reverse course on it.
Do you think it'll be an apology if they do go backwards?
I don't know. I don't know. But I think
now here's the thing that's more insidious.
Brian, if I may.
Here it is. Sorry.
I mean, here's what I think. The thing is that you can debate this till the cows go home. It's gutsy. It's idiotic. You know, and both sides have valid points. But the point is that there is a consumer base that is pissed off about Apple getting rid of the headphone jack. This is a perfect opportunity for Samsung to promote the fact that they didn't pull this bonehead move, and you can still use a headphone jack on their phone. It would be a huge bigger mistake for Samsung to drop the headphone jack than it was for Apple to have done it. I've heard that they're doing that.
That's the funny part.
Venison.
Because that's a huge problem.
Let's let Venison speak.
Airlines are telling him.
Think about the stop. You know, think about the no headphone jack. Now, what is this going to do? What are you going to use with this old headphone jack to listen to your music?
Well,
they're giving you a wireless headphone buds.
Well, right. The idea,
and that was the other part of the conversation on CNBC. They were talking about it's about the size of a cufflink. And the funny part is, like, wait a minute, who the hell wears cufflinks other than these Wall Street geeks, right? You know, they would have been better to say, well, it's, you know, because there were some women there. That was about the size of an earring. In fact, it's going to be where your earring would be, whatever. One lady was saying how, you know, won't take any time at all to lose this damn thing in the bottom of, you know, of her purse. You know, she has lost things there forever. You know,
you've got this single product, you know, of, you know, wireless headphones that are out now. You know, so far, is it looking like a single product?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm playing Q-Bert.
Yeah, the biggest.
I'll watch the Hubert as we go ahead.
No. I was just it's just that Brian was dominating so much. I was like, fuck this, Hubert. Now, venison. Just to, because you're asking the questions about this, and basically here is I highly disagree with this, but I'll go ahead and play devil's advocate here. Apple is kind of seeing that the direction things should move in, and they're just going to give it a little nudge there. All right, maybe I'm not going to play devil's advocate. Maybe I will still be biased. The headphone jack is no longer necessary or is becoming obsolete or is the next thing to become obsolete because, you know, Bluetooth and, you know, wireless headsets. And so...
Well, this new wireless headset is not Bluetooth. It's a new whole thing altogether. It's got a separate chip.
Okay. Well, it's some kind of wireless technology.
Now, they have a regular headphone type.
If I might.
And earbuds.
So basically, they're going, hey, you don't need a headphone jack because why do you want a wire?
Right.
And we'll just remove that from there. Or,
and you can have this fake dongle in case you really do need the wire.
And for those people that want to use their old headphones that, you know, are using a standard that has been a standard for like 50 years now and, you know, everything uses, we'll give you this inconvenient adapter to plug in. And good luck if you want to charge your phone and listen to your old school quality headphones at the same time.
Actually, they talked about that on CNBC as well. It was pretty funny. Oh, yeah. What if you want to charge?
That's pretty much the point of it all.
And then they were making fun of these kids that spend $500 on a set of headphones.
Well, 500.
Yeah, like I said, that's the whole point of it all. Like I said, you've got this wireless thing that's, you know, basically suited by Apple. You know, these wireless headphones by Apple. You know, they pretty much taken out the market of every other line of headphones. You know, you could put, you know, you could sit there and buy
third party will be jumping on this wireless headphones as well. But the other issue is that you got yet another thing to recharge, and that is your wireless headphone. Right?
There is that, too.
Now, mind you, I'm not defending. I'm just saying what I heard. I'm passing along.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Kind of the discussion and the argument. And it'll be interesting to see. Maybe I'd like to see Apple change their mind on this whole thing and go back and, hey, okay, we got it. We got a headphone.
Has Apple ever gone back on change their mind on something? I mean, there was I seem to recall a situation with what was it? Apple Maps. They got rid of the Google and then there was a huge apology over that. And but they didn't go back. They just continued forward. They just fixed it. So I mean,
well, but fix it is okay. But see, the thing is. Is I went to Google Maps and I've never come back. I only use Google Maps.
Yeah, me too. But Apple, Apple didn't go back to Google Maps.
We didn't try it and use it.
Apple did not go back to Google Maps.
Yeah, thanks, Apple.
Though.
Thanks for screwing up, Apple.
Yeah, so especially if you can use Apple Maps, you wouldn't go back. You end up driving off fear.
Right.
But no, they didn't go back. So I mean, this would be kind of a first, I think, if Apple. Did go? Hey, we made a mistake here, and we're gonna put the audio jack back.
Well, of course, that's kind of a hardware issue. You know, the jack is a hardware issue. You can't just have a jack appear on the current new machines phones coming out. You'd have to make modifications and come up with a new release.
Right.
Whereas with the Apple Maps. Yeah, they fixed the problem and moved forward, and some of us decided, well, we just don't give it a shit because we've gone with Google.
Right.
You know, so, again, that's software. So we could go back to Apple Maps if we wanted to, but, you know, actually, Google Maps is one of the few things that of Google's that works well on iOS. You know, Google Plus sucks.
Yeah.
The YouTube app is not so bad, but it's got the YouTube brand on it. But anyway, so it's just for amusement.
So anyways, I got my keyboard hooked up here, and we got the Pi up on the screen. And I'm going to hit F4.
Here, show the keyboard on the screen again.
Oh, over here on my screen, here's the keyboard. Cute little.
And that guy's wireless, right?
Yeah, that guy's wireless.
And you don't prefer a wire?
For this, no.
Okay, just checking.
I'm perfectly fine with a wireless keyboard. This is portable and it carries with me, so it's convenient to be wireless, and it's
fits in that shirt pocket, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we're at a Linux prompt here, and now Brian wanted to point out that pwd is a useful command, so I'm gonna try that right now, and it basically shows us what path we're in, which we're in the path of home /home/pi. So now I know in DOS you basically tell it to show you your path at the C prompt. By default, the C prompt doesn't always show you the path, although nowadays it does by default. But I remember you had to put in. I discovered that our DOS computers back in the 80s had in the batch files some kind of like prompt equals $P $G or something like that. And that's what made right. The C prompt actually show you your whole path. I wonder if there's an equivalent to that in Linux to actually see.
Actually, there is, although I've never changed it.
Is there? Now, how come we do it that way in DOS, but we don't do it that way in Linux?
Who does it like that in DOS still?
Hey, you know who does? Everyone does. Allow me to demonstrate. Because right now on my screen, I brought up a command prompt, and my command prompt says that I am in the full path of C:/user/Jonathan. So everyone's still doing it.
Oh wait, hang on. I have to get back to.
So in DOS, we're doing it like
that.
Of
course, how many people go to the command line still?
I do it every day.
I do it every day.
Every day.
All right.
Yeah. Plenty of people are doing that still.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyways, so the point is that I don't understand your mentality. You say you've never done that in Linux. Yet you seem to have been used to or would like that. You don't remove that feature from DOS, but you don't add that feature to Linux. And I just find that funny that you do it one way in one environment and another way in the other environment.
Well, I kind of just look at the other environment as completely different, and I don't bother with it.
But you can make things similar.
But there is the PW command. That's what you could change it.
Yeah.
In fact, do an echo space... type as I speak.
Echo space.
Space $ and all caps prompt.
All right. Prompt. Okay. And I'm going to hit
enter.
Enter.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, I lied.
You liar! Now, you say you prefer the -L on the PWD command. So if I do PWD space -L, where's my dash? There's my dash.
To give the long form.
To give the long form. All right, there we go. And we see the long form there of bash invalid option. What did I do wrong, Brian? Why is it telling me that's an invalid option?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm sorry. For LS.
Oh, I see. That number two was not a continuation of number one, because LS, of course, is the command that lists what's in your directory,
right.
Which we
so
can
it's
see.
It's like a dir command.
All right, but if we do LS space... dash L, which we're now cut off the bottom of the screen, unfortunately, then we get our listing in list form instead of just kind of, it's funny because in DOS, by default, it lists thing in list form, and I used to do like DIR /W, which would, you know, that way it would give me, I could see everything on one screen typically, but then I didn't get the details. Whereas here, this is a good format if you want to see the details of everything, and it's put down in the list. Okay, so the LS command's good to know. So you wrote a mount script. Bin bash is always the first line. So this is cat mount USB.sh. Now, do I have to, like, type this out to make it?
You got an email you can copy and paste, right? Or is that on different machines?
Well, yeah, these are different machines. I'm not hooked up to the network on my Pi.
Type it, maybe. Type it.
Yeah. Well, you know what I could do? I could make the file on here and put it on my USB key and then mount my USB key. Oh, wait. We need the script about
the
USB key.
By the way, you use the term USB key.
USB drive. I use all
kinds. How about USB stick?
I use different words all the time for the same thing. A key.
See, I don't like to use drive because there are disk drives of, you know, giga capacities that plug in a USB port.
Well,
I like USB stick because it is just a little stick, and that seems to be common.
So here's the thing. Last week we had a little debate that
But why would you call it a key? It's not a key.
I don't know, because...
Does it look like a physical key?
Yeah, sure. You know. Yeah.
Do people use that?
I don't know. I just... clearly people do, because I did.
Yeah. I'd promote the word stick. I like stick.
Well, drive is more descriptive than stick.
But that's that other device that's bigger.
But it's a small drive. It's still a drive. It doesn't matter what shape or size a drive is.
Sure.
A drive's a drive.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, I get it. But I like stick because it suggests that it's small.
But Sony made a line of you know, they like the Sony competing format to the SD card was the memory stick.
The memory stick, yeah, right.
Right. You know, so I think Sony's got the trademark on the stick. So no, these are not sticks.
But they don't call it USB stick. That's a card. You see, Sony screwed up because it's not a memory stick. I mean, it's not a USB. Well, yeah, never mind.
You know what? I don't care.
It is a card, not a stick.
So here's what I'm going to do. Last week, you pointed out that the way I was doing it, which was by modifying the what was it I was modifying?
FS tab.
The no, it was the
FS tab in Etsy FS tab.
No, it was the FSTAB or what was that? What was the path of that again?
ATC.
Oh yes. ATC FSTAB. No, that's not right. Because that's FTAB. All right, so we're gonna exit out of that.
FSTAB or FSTAB.
Yeah, I typed it wrong.
Depends how you put the syllable.
Now, here's the thing: is that your script is you said that, you know, I was doing it the hard way and you had the easy way. Now your easy way involves either having to type out a bunch of commands into a text document or transferring the text document onto the Pi. How do you transfer the text document onto the Pi? Easiest way would be to use a USB stick.
Are we going around in circles here?
Yeah. So the thing is that my method last week, I was able to mount the USB stick by just typing in one line in one device. Now, your point is that we have to go back and forth between commenting it out and uncommenting it out since you can't leave it in
there. Which you're doing editing all the time, yes.
Right, you're editing all the time. But this at least gives me an easy temporary way to get my stick on this thing, to get the damn script on there. So here we go. We're going to backspace my comment there, and I'm going to Control X out of here, and I'm going to hit a Y on that, and overwrite, and there we go. And so now I could take this text from this email that Brian sent me. And we'll just go ahead and screen share that so you can kind of see. There we go. Yeah, he sent me this Bin Bash Echo Current List Mount Device DFH Sleep 3. And you all also now know Brian's personal email address, so be sure to send all those Tub Girl links right to Brian Blues there. And yeah, so I'm going to take that off now, actually. I don't have any porn.
If I'm lucky, they couldn't read it any better than I could.
Yeah. I don't think I have any porn tabs open right now, so I think okay. I'm clear. All right, so I'm basically going to copy that. I'm going to go over here to my removable drive, and I'm just going to make a text document. Text document in Windows is the same thing as a text document in Linux, right? This is totally going to work, right?
Same, only different, yes.
Yeah. All right. So now I have made my text document, and you usually call this, what do you call this, mount underscore USB dot SH?
Yeah.
Underscore USB dot SH. All right. There we go. We now have a sh file. And we also need to make a unmount script for this. So we'll go ahead and make another text document, and we're going to copy and paste.
Are you using Notepad?
Yes.
One little thing, when you do Notepad, let me pull it up on my screen to see what it says.
Notepad is just a pure text document. It's
no, sir. Because the default now is Unicode. So when you set save as and you give it the file name, there's the encoding. Okay, it should say ANSI, A-N-S-I.
Where?
In the word encoding. Are you on Windows 10?
No, 7.
But underneath the file name, there should be a type.
Type.
And there's some different. I'm sorry, not type. But there's a type. Is that underneath that is encoding.
Encoding. Let me see if I have the option to put that on. All right, so I'm going to right click on the file, the text file within Windows, and I'm going to I'm going to right click in the blank spot of the fields in my display window here, and I'm going to click more. And I'm going to see if I can add an encoding onto this. Encoded by? Is that what I'm looking for?
Well, it should be an encoded type.
No.
It's either going to be like ANSI or ASCII, or it will be Unicode. Unicode would not be good.
That's not... Or, I don't know what you're talking about, but I do have a bunny with a pancake on its head.
Okay, that works.
That works. Is that Unicode?
Yeah,
is that Unicode? Bunnies with pancakes? Now, I don't see anywhere where it says any kind of encoding when I'm looking at these files.
Because I remember being at Tharco, obviously before Windows 10, and that encoding was available. And I used it all the time to make sure that I did not get Unicode.
But I don't know where I don't see anything that says that. Where am I looking? Because I'm not seeing any
on the on Windows, Notepad.
Oh, so I have to have it open in Notepad
under the save as. So open up the file under under Windows.
Save as type text documents, encoding ANSI.
Okay. All right. That's what you want.
Okay. So by
default, that encoded ANSI is. So I was double checking that you're right. Otherwise, we'd get holy crap on the other end.
We would get some holy crap.
Holy crap.
All right.
With probably some shorter four-letter words.
Okay. All right. So we're going to save this new text document.txt as unmount underscore USB dot sh. So there we go. So now on my USB drive stick device that is key-shaped, but not really. We now have these two files saved. So I'm going to go ahead and properly unmount this device by finding where to, here we go, safely remove hardware. Because Brian promotes the safely removing of...
especially since you just wrote some files to it.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know what the name of this device is under here, so I'm just going to pull it out. You know, some people like to be safe, and some people just use the pull-out method. So there we go. We've pulled their stick out.
That's because you grew up as a Catholic, right? Subtle religious humor.
Yes, yes, that is quite true. So yeah, we're going to go back over to the machine now, and now we're going to restart it basically. There we go. We'll get out of there, because I guess I could have typed reboot, but I didn't. You know, because I like to do things from the GUI when I can. And, you know, RetroPie is a GUI. So I use it. All right, so we're gonna restart the system. Really restart? Yes. And now, because
it's easier to do it that way. Yes. Yeah,
yes, yes. It is easier. It's not necessarily quick. Easier does not mean quicker.
Right.
So now that we have my little mapping thing not commented out and the USB stick is connected to the Raspberry Pi, it's going to mount it. And then we could copy our scripts onto there so we could do it Brian's way. So we used my way to be able to more easily do Brian's way.
Yes.
But we're just waiting for this to continue to boot up here. So we got some lovely text to show you on the screen right now. Oh, no one's actually watching this, though. People are only
listening.
Well,
I'm watching that.
Okay, well, we're watching it, and that's all that really counts because, you know, who cares about you out there listening? And
but either it's so fast that I only get screenshots because it only look like about two screens worth of text.
Yeah.
Rather than 40 or whatever it is that Linux likes to boot up at and under.
But anyways, we're going to exit back out to our command line now. And what did I mount that to? I think that was, what, dev SDA1 or something like that?
Well, that's the device. But it mounted probably at...
Oh, MNT SDA1. One is what I mounted it to.
Woohoo!
And now we do an ls here, and there we go. We could see our mount underscore USB.sh and our unmount underscore USB.sh. So now, Brian, where do we put these?
I would put them in your home, copy them to the home directory.
Just right into the root of home?
Well. Slash home slash pi.
So home pi is where you would copy them.
Yeah, because that's your home directory. That's your stuff.
So we could do
your exclusive use.
CP space.
And yeah, the Linux gurus and eggheads never tell you that.
I'm going to do CP space asterisk dot sh so that we could get both of these in one command since I only have those two shs in here.
Yep.
And I'm going to copy that to slash home slash pi.
Yep.
So now if I go to CD.
Nothing.
Slash home.
If you just do CD blank, it'll go to it.
Slash pi.
But that's okay. That works too.
That works too. And now we do
it. There's an easy way or a hard way.
And now I got RetroPie and RetroPie setup, and I got
okay, why don't you pull up one of them and edit?
All right.
And
so,
see if it looks correct.
All right. We'll do that right now. We're going to bring up the mount script. And we're just typing this out right now on my little tiny keyboard. And so, Venison, what do you think of all this Pi stuff? There we go.
We didn't hear his body, lifeless body, drop to the floor, so it hasn't killed him.
Unfortunately, yeah. So, or fortunately, or whatever, we didn't hear it. Oh, I thought you said we heard it, or we didn't hear it, so it happened.
Maybe he dropped off in bed instead, so we never didn't hear anything.
He's not at all.
Okay, so that looks right.
Yeah, see, that totally looks right. So we now have scripts on here. So
now, do we like this mount point?
Well, what's the...
this is media.
Media.
This is mounted under media.
Media / USBO. Now, do we have to create those paths in order for these scripts to work?
We'll want to look.
What do you mean?
Use the ls command and look at them.
So you're saying these already exist, or does this create them?
It has to already exist.
So what am I lsing? What do you mean?
Well, you want to get out of the editor first.
I am.
Oh, okay. I couldn't see that on the screen. So ls / media / In fact, just do the media first. See what's there.
USB, USB-O, USB-1. Oh, so these all... Now, were these here just waiting for us to do something with them?
Yep, probably.
That's weird that they put those there.
In fact, do df space dash h.
df space dash h. Okay.
So we see... It's kind of blurry for me, but we see mounted on the far right column.
Okay.
So you're using / MNT / SDA1.
Right.
So we're not using media at this point.
Right, because my editing of the FSTAB, I created MTN SDA1, and I told FSTAB to mount it to that point.
Right.
So now we can actually...
Now do an ls space dash l in your current directory. So just ls space dash l. And we see that, Pi owns this, so we don't actually have to use sudo anymore. But we don't have all of the proper permissions to make it execute.
Why not?
Well, that's weird. You have, it did set the X under global. Oh, it does say execute for owner. It should execute then.
Okay.
Why don't you pull the memory stick and reboot the, edit out the FS tab, edit out your, comment out that line. Reboot and see if we can mount the memory stick directly. See what happens.
All right. I'm getting into there right now. So we're going to go back into the FSTAB. And we're going to comment out that line with the hashtag. There we go. Control X. And we're going to save that. All right. And so now we're going to reboot.
So wouldn't that be a funny hashtag to try in Twitter? The hashtag / dev / SDA1?
Yeah, we should try that.
And see if people follow it. That's actually funnier than the other idea I have is you find some celebrity that you like, say Conan O'Brien.
Right.
And if you see he's using, follow his account. If you see him ever using a hashtag, I know Jimmy Fallon does.
Right.
You hijack the hashtag and use it in any of your posting that you want and see if you collect any viewers or people that are going to say, what the fuck? So hijack hashtag, see what it works.
Hijack a hashtag.
Yep.
Maybe I'm just...
Or if you're really into it, look up hashtag go get those geckos. Because that's what John Oliver was doing when the Russians had sent some geckos into space and lost them.
Oh, that's right. That was a tragedy. They lost the geckos.
Yes.
They should have sent a rescue mission out for them.
Well, that's what Fallon was trying to do, is get them. Go get those geckos.
Oliver. All right, so right now, let's just, for shits and giggles, we're going to go to that MNT SDA one just to confirm that we no longer have our USB stick mounted to there. And sure enough, empty folder, nothing mounted there.
And do df space dash h slash h h. Can't even talk anymore.
Df space
dash h.
Dash h. What is this?
Df is show me the file system. And the dash H means show me it in human form rather than machine form.
Okay. All right.
So we don't see an SDA one, right? It's fuzzy on my end, so I'm not sure what we can
see. Yeah, so we don't have it. We don't have it.
Is it plugged in?
It is plugged in.
Ooh.
So we've commented it out from FSTAB, and so it didn't run that. It's pretty much exactly what we expected to see.
Right. Now let's try to mount that sucker.
All right. So how do we run this mount USB.sh?
Dot slash.
Dot
and then mount underscore whatever it's called.
So why do I have to do a dot slash?
Please execute, it means.
But why can't I just type the file name and it understands that I want it to please execute?
Because it doesn't know what to do with it. Linux is...
So I could
special.
So I could just type in nano and it knows we're on a text editor. But if I type in script, it's like you didn't put a dot slash in front of that.
It's complicated, but it kind of comes down to, because you have a path. You could say echo space dollar sign and in all caps the word path. And you'll see, oh, I've got some stuff called bin and sbin and blah, 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 blah. So when you do a command line without the dot slash, it knows to go to the path and look all over the place. When you do dot slash, it knows, oh, I'm going to look in my current directory for that. Here it is.
Bash. Da, 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 da. No such file or directory. Now, why does it think that there is no such file directory as mount underscore USB dot sh?
Dang, that's a kick in the ass.
I'm going to try it without the dot slash, because there is really no such thing as dot slash mount underscore USB dot sh, but there is a mount underscore USB dot sh.
Where's your PWD?
I'm in the folder.
Oh, yeah, you just did an ls.
So I should be able to run it just directly from the folder.
And that, you know, it's fuzzy on me, so it says mount underscore USB dot sh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I thought right, it just is fuzzy, so I can't really read it. I just kind of look like.
So when I did the dot slash mount underscore USB dot sh, it then said bin slash bash for the bad interpreter, no such file or directory. And when I typed in just plain mount underscore USB dot sh, it said command not found. So is this an error from running the script that it returned, or is it that it had a problem finding the script? What's going on here?
That is interesting.
Bad interpreter.
Looks like, because you're doing the dot slash mount underscore USB dot sh, and you see the dash bash, right? And it says that there's a file name there.
Yeah.
Maybe the... Why would that be wrong? Maybe for some reason it doesn't like your bin bash. Ooh, that would be kind of unique.
But it's saying no such file or directory for its error. Bad interpreter, no such file or directory.
I may have to reboot and boot into my RetroPie. Oh.
But you've already done this
because I need to. Why? Well, not from the RetroPie. See, so I cheated.
Huh. You know what? I think I'm going to go back to playing some Qbert, you know? We're actually, like, being productive there.
And play the music from Jeopardy. Of course, we'll get tagged for copyright violations, right?
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, I'm not gonna actually play it.
Right.
No, I said, let's see. Oh, I don't.
And the final Jeopardy answer is?
Qbert. What is Qbert?
Oh, wow. Last second save. Excellent. Awesome.
There we go. We're going to get the snake off the edge. And there it goes. Woo! We killed the snake. There we go. We're gonna clear level one here. Yeah. Hey, Venison, did you like Qbert as a kid? You play any Qbert in the arcade?
Is he with us?
Oh, my God. Yeah. You play Qbert?
Yeah. No.
No?
Yeah, I'm here, but. I'm eating dinner right now.
Okay, so you were between bites when we tried to call you up a little bit ago.
So what did you like to play in the arcade as a kid?
Oh, that would be Defender. The really good games. Let's see, Defender. Oh, God, why can't I remember that one? Oh, shit. Mostly pinball. I don't know.
All right. Hey, well, we got some Defender. We can break up to bring out the Defender here.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Oh.
I just can't get Defender to start working because it doesn't think I've put any press advance to step through test. Press high score reset to make change. Well, I don't have those buttons mapped on this controller. So, no, Defender won't let me play. What about Centipede? You ever play Centipede?
Nah.
Pac-Man?
Nah.
Frogger?
Once in a while.
Oh, okay. We got Frogger. What about Donkey Kong?
Nah.
No Donkey Kong.
Okay, Jonathan, I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
The Space Wars.
Back from where?
I'm back from digging into my machine to see what it is. Number one, I do have those scripts on RetroPie.
Okay.
So they should work.
They worked for you? You run them and they work?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, how come they don't
work? Stick in a memory stick and USB stick.
I don't get why it doesn't work for me. You know, Linux just fucking sucks, is what I've determined over these years of not being able to do simple, basic things that Windows just does without having to bend over backwards. And I mean, look at all the trouble we went to today to try to be able to easily mount a USB stick, which would still require us to type out a line. And Windows, you plug it in, it just shows up there. How is it people are still using Linux?
Well, that's a good question, and I think it's a valid one. On my Raspbian deals, I do just plug in the memory stick, and it works. And there's a little gadget on the GUI screen that lets me tell it to unmount it. Why they didn't build that properly in RetroPie is a little bit beyond me.
Well, you know why it is. It's because they're a bunch of elitist pricks, is what it is.
That's right, because they don't need it.
Yeah, they don't need it. They're elitist pricks. Who needs things to just, work automatically, correctly, when you're an
Right.
elitist prick that could just, type
Well, it
commands.
could be better. It could be, worse. It could be Apple that decides that you don't need a frickin' headphone jack.
Now there's the real elitist pricks right there. Apple wins the award for biggest elitist pricks.
I mean, can you
I
go
would say so.
to, can you know how difficult it is to add additional software to the iOS devices? It's nearly impossible unless you're a official Apple developer, right?
Huh. I wouldn't
So
know.
you actually even have to wear the special crown or whatever it is to become a Apple developer.
There you go. Well, no, I just gave up an USB stick and I'm playing some Castlevania now. So, woohoo! Kill the ghosts. There we go. There we go. This is thrilling radio here. Listen to me playing Castlevania. Can you hear that playing? Of course, I didn't hook up the sound because that would have required running some other wires and connectors and things like that, which we didn't need.
And the excuse we'll use is that you didn't want to get tagged for playing music.
Yeah,
Right.
exactly. So we're just showing the picture of although
The
I.
copyrighted picture, right?
Yeah, that might get us flagged, actually.
Which is interesting because people do reviews of games all the time.
Yeah, and they get flagged. They get flagged for that. Well, not that they get flagged, but they get basically they can't monetize those videos. They get monetized for Nintendo.
So you're a game reviewer. Don't review them on YouTube.
Which is bullshit because you understand there's this thing called fair use. And fair use allows you to use samples of copyright material for the purposes of education or for reviews or, it's right in there.
Right. Sure.
One of the reasons for fair use is for reviews. So Nintendo should not be making copyright claims on uses of their materials in reviews because that is a legitimate use of fair use. Yet YouTube sides with Nintendo and hands over the money to them that really they have no right
Actually,
to.
it's probably because they're protecting their own butt.
That's still
They don't want to
bullshit.
get sued. Of course it is.
Well,
But they're chicken shit.
you know what? That is just a big case
You know, it's
of
like
bullshit.
PayPal favors the seller or the buyer.
eBay favors the buyers, and the sellers
Get screwed.
get screwed. That's
Yeah.
how that works. But on that note, I believe we have reached that point of the show where it's time to put another fun-filled edition of this show.
Copyrights themselves by our business.
It's time to put another fun-filled edition of
Insert title here.
To bed.
I mean, why would you copyright? Why would you make a noise about, against reviewers? They're the ones who promote your product.
There's a lot of jackassery when it comes to reviewers because remember there was a big stink that was made over. It was found that when reviewers were giving unfavorable reviews to video games, the video game developers started like threatening to not send advanced copies of stuff to reviewers that were reviewing their stuff badly. Which it's like, do you not
Sure.
understand how this is supposed to work, that you just basically are destroying the integrity of the system. You don't want a
Yeah.
negative review, don't put shit out.
And they lose business.
But yeah, so there's a lot of bullshit. You know, that's the thing. When you have money, you're allowed to pull stupid bullshit stunts like that. Well, on that note, you know, we do try to be educational here, and I think we've educated people a lot this week. What have you learned this week, Venison?
I'll just stick to tonight. For some reason, I don't know, you don't want to know what I learned this week. But tonight I learned, I don't know. Well, I was going to be nice about this, but I learned nothing about mixing and Raspberry Pi. Because I haven't in it.
So, Venison, Venison's learned nothing about Linux.
Yeah.
Well, you know, good for you, Venison. I applaud your deal. Okay.
Way to go, Venison. You learn nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. Now, Brian, on the other hand, has, I'm sure, learned so much.
Okay, so as a side issue, Dune tweeted out that the Raspberry Pi org came out with their own kit.
They did.
That includes the Raspberry Pi rather than selling it separately. And it's really kind of awesome, but I would, and I replied to him, it suggested that if you get one of those, you keep it in, well, keep the box is what I said, but even keep it on, you know, if it's wrapped or anything like that, keep it on the shelf because that will be a collector's item that you'll be selling in the future for big bucks, right? I mean, if you buy the kit from, you know, Joe Schmuck Outfit, you know, like an outfit that I bought from, you know, no big deal. That's not a collector's item.
Joe Schmuck?
They made millions of them. You know,
I'm not familiar.
The buy and learn what you can. So.
I'm not familiar with Joe Schmuck's quality brand of Raspberry Pi devices. I'm going to have to check that organization out.
Right.
You know what, though?
But it's a third party is what I mean.
The thing is, though, is that the Raspberry Pi kit is only going to be collectible if it fails and they just go back to only making the boards and not the kits. I see
that happening because you do have all these third parties that says, wait a second, you guys, you're jumping into my business. Now, one reason why they may have gone into a kit is some of these people get the Raspberry Pi, throw it in a box with some other crap, and sell it at a really huge markup.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's business. You do that. So if Raspberry Pi is going to have their own kit, then what is the third-party guy going to do to make money? I mean, that's just business. So we'll see if they continue or they get under pressure from vendors to say, hey, stop doing that. You're killing my business.
Well, but the thing is that the kit is for the beginner. I think the real bread and butter of the Raspberry Pi is the projects and the project builders. They're not buying kits. They're buying boards. They're buying their own parts. This kit is really more of the beginner, the entry level, the get started level of this.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but you do need a power supply. You do need a case. You do need the cables to plug to the monitor. Okay, this is Raspberry Pi 3, so you don't need the dongle for the Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or anything else. So this is the all-encompassing thing so that you just plug the thing in and it goes. Okay.
Right.
Whereas what the Raspberry Pi org sold before was just the board. You had to add collect those other parts together, and you kind of go, is this one good enough? Especially the Raspberry Pi 3, it requires, you got to have like 2.4 amps kind of. So you got to get the stronger USB charger, not the little piece of crap, that little cube thing that Apple gives with the iPhones. You need a bigger one. You need something comes like with the iPad.
And on that note,
I did have one learning thing.
Yes.
And that is, okay, so I was screwing around with the script on my machine, trying to get it to work, and I ended up with the same dash bash blah blah blah, no file or
you're getting
on this, my machine.
Wait, so you're getting the
but
same
first
error?
First it was doing something, but it wasn't giving me the error. So I've kind of degraded to your level.
So I've learned that Brian has the same issues I have.
That's right.
So
I like the standard Raspbian that includes all the parts you need to automatically load it. And yeah. It's got a gadget on the screen.
Yeah, yeah, but this lets you play video games.
But you've got the Elysius pricks that don't give you the parts that you need.
Yeah, well.
To mount and unmount a USB stick.
Well, yeah, this gives us another opportunity to fix their shit and tell them to go suck it. So,
and if they watch this, then they're going to be banning Brian Blues from their forum.
Oh, you're already associated with me. They know we've been tweeting.
Dang.
Yeah. And on that note, be sure to tune in next week when we tell the RetroPie people to suck it and suck it again. Also, be sure to check out NHBShow.com and NHBRadio.com because, hey, Vamp's coming on tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss that. Damon and Liam coming on with the NHB Radio Show on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And on Friday on NHBRadio.com, we got Outlaw Radio, Saturday, 8 p.m. Saturday. Did I say Friday? Saturday, 8 p.m. And also Saturday nights at 11 on NHBShow.com and HeatFMRadio.com. You got the 5-Hit with Dune. And then Sunday, the Dune and Bob Show, 6 to 8 Eastern. So, wow. We have got a ton of shows for you to listen to all week long.
Unless our listeners, our favorite people in the world, come back and say, yeah, well, you know, we really want a dedicated Mobile Strike episode. Until then, it'll be just, we'll be back rather than I'll be back, right?
Maybe, you know.
My accent sucks, doesn't
maybe,
it?
Maybe one episode. I didn't realize you were talking about a one-off. We'll think about that, but not next week.
Yeah, no, that and that's fine. You know, because what I do, when we kind of decide, yeah, let's go with this, I want to prep these guys that, hey, we want to do this. Is anybody in my team willing to get on the air, you know, and you know, where the internet is forever and have a go at it?
All right. Well, hey, we'll check that out, and good night, everyone.
So if it sounds like a good idea, let us know.
Okay.
And YouTube says off the air.
Yeah, and I got to click. I got to click one thing. I got to find that one thing because I got to resume the NHB show stream.
Yeah.
There we go. End a live show. Okay. All right. Yeah. And I got to stop recording the podcast.